my third grade teacher that before that, her name was Beda Briggs.
Beda?
Beda.
Beda. Mm-hmm. B-E-D-A or B-A-D-A?
Oh, I thought it spelled B-A-D-A, Beda Briggs, and they lived right up, just as you go up the first hill in Mount Glen.
My impression is that most of the teachers were young and that they didn't stay very long in one school.
Well, Jenny, no, I think Imogene Norton stayed a couple of years, and Don Smith and Leona Combs, they were, and this Mrs. Betts, they were during that 1 year. And then Henry Maxfield was in my fifth grade. Miss Bertha Starks, she was an older woman. I can remember seeing her. She had white hair, but during the recess, she'd be a lot of times be standing over by the window looking out and singing Maggie, you know, whatever that rest of it is. But then we had Mr. Ferguson was my eighth grade teacher, and he was a grown adult.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't young. And this Henry Maxfield, he was married, and a lot of times his wife would substitute for him if he was sick. And they lived there in Mount Glen.
Did school seem different when you had a male teacher from when you had a female?
Well, it didn't seem to me.
Okay.
At first, I think I was a little more shy of him at first, but he did not. It wasn't long.
What sorts of games played around school?
Well, we played baseball a lot by using the back side of the house from the back,
mm-hmm.
and then it had to run down a hill, kind of, and make it bounce. But then we played we'd line up on the sidewalk and over in there, and we'd have a place where you had to try and get across to get something they had out there. I think it was what they did call it, but it. If you could get that, whatever they had out there, and get back, you were safe. But if you got caught, well, then you were caught and you had to do something. And some of the boys got to pole vaulting a little bit, was just a stick.
Uh-huh.
But they played kick the can, hide and seek, because we had those big trees. But we played baseball a lot.
And when it was time to come in to school again, did she ring a bell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had a big old bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm.
Who do you think cleaned the room?
Well, I think there was a Mrs. Allen, Leona Allen. I think she cleaned some. And
was she a janitor then, not a teacher?
No, she wasn't a teacher, though. But I think, because they had taught a lot of times, boarded the school teacher. Allen's did, and then there was a Bezick that lived up Ida Lane, a ways that they took care of the teacher once in a while. But Fiona Allen and her husband then kept the teachers other than those that had their own home.
Do you remember how the schoolroom smelled?
Well, there was a great big pot-bellied stove.
Yes.
And it had a big thing around it.
Yeah, and that, sort of a guardian or a protector.
Yeah,
thing, yeah.
And when we was playing out in the snow, we'd have clothes and we'd hang them over that to kind of warm.
Uh-huh. So you'd smell the drying clothes.
Yeah.
The wet clothes, I should say.
Yeah. But there's a place right here that is where the vent come out of the school, or the fire.
Yes.
And
the ashes, you mean?
No, just it was a vent you could hear, because when some of the parents and that had come to see the teacher, we'd get close to hear and hear what he had to say.
Well, what was it for?
Well, I think it was the furnace air or something that was went in around this
place. It's sort of a flue for the stove.
Yeah, kind of a air thing.
Yeah, but there was a chimney up through the roof, wasn't there?
Yeah, but this here come out, because you could hear, if you listened right there, you could hear them, what they're talking about. And we had, of course, there's the main school, and then there was the front here, and that's where we hung our hats and coats and our overshoes.
I peeked in there, I saw that.
And we played games in that. We played back tag or what in there. But we had some real good programs, you know, but we'd always go down to the church to put them on because we didn't have room in
there. I remember you saying that. The church is no longer there, right? So you graduated from eighth grade there. You took all the state tests. Mm-hmm. You passed all those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what they were? English, science, history, arithmetic,
and spelling, and agriculture.
Uh-huh.
And
somebody said physiology. Is that one you remember?
No, I don't know. But I know we had a piece of paper about a big hat of this. It had the questions on there, and they'd give you one of those, and you had to answer them. And you had to get through in a certain length of time. You couldn't take all day or take it home.
Would you do that in May?
Just before. Oh, Jim, Mount Glen still got out in April, of April. They were always out a month earlier than the Iowa school down here and the Moss Chapel school.
Do you know why?
I don't know why. But I know all the kids that went down here to Iowa school, they didn't think that was fair. We got out of home a month before the others. But I remember one winter, there was an awful lot of scarlet fever out this way. And we were quarantined two different times.
Tell me more about being quarantined at that time. I remember being quarantined as a child, but what was your experience?
Well,
what did you
we had to stay home. We couldn't go out to anything.
Did you have to stay in your own bedroom?
Yeah, no, we stayed
just
in our
room. Any place in the house?
In our house. There, but I know that one time, and I think it was this Mrs. Betts that was teaching when we got, because, well, then it took about a month, 3 weeks to a month that we was quarantined.
And that was for what illness?
Scarlet fever.
Scarlet fever.
Catching, you know, they couldn't go out.
Did somebody tack a sign on your door that said quarantined?
Well, I don't really think
no?
so.
Okay.
We just were obedient.
Okay.
But I know that they could come and release us until we'd go, and it was on a Friday, and we all went to school, and our family, and the teacher, she, I guess, was still scared. She went up to the lane there to Beswick's. He must have been on the school board or something. And they come back and closed the school. There was no internet going to touch. But I remember us going back, but I do remember that they got scared because of him.
Were you allowed to do any school work while you were quarantined at home?
Not that I remember. We were just quarantined. Because that one year we missed 2 months effectively.
Mm-hmm. What did you do while you were quarantined?
Oh, just around the house.
Yeah, but what?
Well, if we were sick, we was in bed.
Uh-huh.
And
but you probably weren't that sick all the time.
Well, no, but some of us were really sick. But Mother just to take care of us.
All right, that brings up another subject. You said that your mother was kind of a visiting nurse. She seemed to know how to take care of people.
She just had that. She could walk in a room and seemed like she knew what to do, and they got better.
She'd never been to any kind of a school or training program for that?
No, she came from New Zealand, and she had just went 3 years
mm-hmm.
to school.
Mm-hmm.
She just passed into the third grade, so she had taught herself.
Yeah.
She read pretty good.
Was she using home remedies, various kinds of liniments and
things
that she could make?
They had mustard plasters, and I don't know if you remember,
where
I have some of them, and you got pretty red, and sometimes they burn.
Yes, I know.
But she used that, had a lot of that she rubbed on you or something, and she'd always kill a chicken and make a chicken soup, noodle soup.
At that time, was there such a thing as Vicks ointment?
Well, there probably was later. Seems like
that's one of the preparations you could buy at a store at that
yeah.
time. Would she have bought something such as that?
Well, yes, but boy, at that time we didn't have money to buy anything we wanted. And then a little later, you know, during the hard times in the 30s, it was hard. We survived on what we raised and what we canned. And mother would go out and buy to rummage sale and make us all our clothes.
Yeah. I was growing up then, too. What would she give for a cough, your mother?
Well, I know she really did an awful lot on her throat. But I really don't know whether we ever had her, whether she had a kind of a liniment or something that she give us.
Did she try to give you anything when you had the scarlet fever, or just tell you to wait it out?
Well, I don't think there was much they could have done.
Probably not.
But I know some of them just peeled all off, and others wasn't going so hard. Mm-hmm. But some of us went pretty hard.
You probably had measles, too.
Yes. Measles and scarlet fever. And
chicken pox?
Chicken pox and whooping cough.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get whooping cough. And the mumps? I don't remember getting, I don't think I got those.
But most kids did get all those communicable diseases, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, even it wasn't after our kids, my kids, mm-hmm. were just little. I think they got everything there was in school to get. Because I told my husband, I said, my gosh, we just had interest in the drugstores.
Mm-hmm. Was your mother also a midwife?
Well, she was. They didn't call her that, but she went every time that they had a baby. Mm-hmm. Why, she was over there attending them, and some of them came to our place. Mm-hmm.
But she actually assisted in the delivery?
She helped the doctor.
Oh, the doctor.
Yeah, they then they have a doctor come up.
So she wasn't probably a midwife.
No, I don't.
They usually do it by themselves.
Oh, well, I think she probably could, but she not that I know of that she ever did. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, in the 1910 to 20 period, were most births at home?
Yes. Most of them. It wasn't this Glen here, out here.
Yours weren't, though, were they?
No. Well, I had two.
Your children?
Two of them was at home. Uh-huh. The doctor came here. Dr. Branner, he was a good doctor. Mm-hmm. Some of the doctors were faithful as he was.
Mm-hmm.
But I had two girls. And mother was, she was in there every time. She was there with all the children.
Did she talk to you about what she actually did?
No. I mean, she cooked and take care of
I mean at a birthing.
Well, she was right there if the doctor needed any help and assist in having anything that he wanted.
Do you think she would cut the umbilical cord?
Well, I don't think she did.
But clean up the baby?
Oh, yes, she always cleaned up the baby.
Have the blankets ready to wrap it in?
Hot water, warm blankets.
Do you remember whether... No, there wasn't any anesthetic, was there, for mothers then?
No.
So do you remember a lot of screaming?
Well, I did some screaming. Well, I don't know. I had an older sister, and she had her children in our home up there, and I was there, but I wasn't in the room, but I was out. But I never did hear her make any sound.
Hmm.
Maybe she's...
That's unusual. What would have happened in those times out here if a baby was born, stillborn, born dead, or died shortly after birth? What would people do next?
Well, I'll tell you what one family did. They were lived up here, and they came from Texas. And she was a real seamstress, and he was a carpenter. And they had a little baby, and I wished I could remember whether it was a boy or a girl. But she, while she was in there, she sewed the cutest little outfit for her, and he made a little coffin. And then we were just, some of us in the Glen here, went up on that hill and out in the, well, the undertaker, I think, was there too. But we went out in that corner and they dug a little grave and then we sang a song or two and there. And years later, I went out there to see if I could find it, because I knew just about where it should be, but there's no sign or nothing. And so I wrote to down in Texas, and their name was Jones, and I knew they had one boy, and I thought that they might be able to come to and send it. I sent it to the post office, but I never got an answer back. Of course, the boy, I imagine the parents were gone, but the boy was younger than I was, and I thought, well, there's a chance that he would get that, and was still around. But I never heard. So I never did really know just where the was. And I imagine that's, I know my sister had several, she had a miscarriage, a little boy, and they lived close kind of to the hill, and her husband went and dug a grave under a bush and buried it.
Can you tell me anything about the Ackles Cemetery, well, on Glen Road?
Well, I know I went through there, a lot of the Valley people are there. Their names are there.
Mostly Mormons, right?
No, I don't think so.
Lee Flower refers to it as the Mormon Cemetery.
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
As I think there was some. Because all the names that have ones up there are weren't members.
Okay.
They were Valley, out in the Valley. And the only ones that I knew of that was Ray Allen and his wife was buried there. But that was here after, kind of late.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been some, but another, it wasn't, they had the Hillcrest Cemetery before they took and fixed all the whole thing up there where they called, it was just the weeds and that, they called that the LDS section of the,
oh, yeah.
And my dad, when he was buried there, it was just weeds and everything. Mother bought a plot, and he was buried there, and I know what later on my brother had, they lost a child, and she wouldn't bury it down there, she got one over where it was already fixed up. But now they've got it fixed and it makes it not.
Now it's my understanding that across the street from Hillcrest was originally a place for only Catholics.
Well, I thought it, I don't know, I just figured it was. But it always was the Catholic cemeteries.
Were you aware at that time of cemeteries that were pretty much segregated by religion?
Well, I knew that theirs was, but I didn't.
Well, you spoke of the LDS,
yes,
part of Hillcrest.
Yes, they had that. Well, we didn't own it, but it was there, but they
mm-hmm.
called it there, and then they passed the law or something that they had to fix it all up.
Why do you think people would have wanted that kind of separation?
I really don't know. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what religion they have. I want to make friends with all of them. And so I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but I know that the LDS people, what I knew, I had an aunt buried about the same time my dad died, and they were down in there.
Were you aware in the 1920s of the Ku Klux Klan in La Grande?
No, I don't know. I heard about him, but I didn't know anything about him. Because I was only 7 when my dad died.
Yeah, but they did sometimes have parades, and sometimes they burned crosses. I thought maybe you would have seen or heard about things like that.
No, we hardly ever got to town. Once a week, Mother, we'd go to town and do our drive our horse and buggy in there, and there was a little store that was right about where Sacagawea is now, and an alleyway there, and we'd tie our horse in there, and we'd take and put our bricks in on that stove, and until we got our shopping done, then we'd take those bricks and put them somewhere we'd keep our feet warm,
yeah,
and come home.
And what kinds of things were you buying?
Well, it wasn't, well, there was a few groceries,
like vegetables or fruits or canned things?
Well, I don't think we bought that many cans. Mother canned a lot. Mm-hmm. And we bought flour, but generally when she harvested what little wheat we had, she'd buy two barrels of flour. And I don't suppose people know about two, a barrel and flour.
No, well, some of them like me would.
And they last us about all winter. She'd make bread and...
But you buy things at the store that you couldn't make for yourself.
Yes, that's
soap?
Right. Soap. Well, we got to making soap. We finally made
soap. I'm trying to find out what you needed to buy.
But you all had to buy pencils and paper and maybe some stockings or something like that. We'd go to those rummy sales, and they were genuine on Saturday, and she'd buy some of those, and you could get a lot of nice clothes for a little or nothing. Mm-hmm. And she was a good sewer. Mm-hmm. She'd make mobile for us.
And did you regard those trips as being fun?
Yes, I didn't mind it at all. I went quite often with Mother. We only had one seat, seat, and just one horse.
Yeah.
But
and she always drove.
When she was little, did, but wasn't long and I could drive. Because I learned to drive before
that. Yes, I remember you saying that. So you would then, when you were a teenager, drive the horse into Lebrun?
Oh yes. But when we were just in grades, you know, before I graduated, we could drive. And we'd go ride the horses out in the pond ground.
Yeah.
We never had saddles, but we would see what we could do on those horses.
What else did you get to do while you were in town?
Once in a while, I remember once that we went to a restaurant there on Depot Street, I think it was. And we had soup with those little tiny round crackers.
Oh, yes.
And, that was a choice.
A treat, huh?
It sure was. But we didn't, once in a while we'd get a little candy. I had a grandfather that whenever he'd come, he always had a sack of candy for us. And he'd always give it to the youngest one. And I know Jean's dad had done the same thing with our kids. We always give it to Dixie.
I suppose while you were in town, you watched the trains go through.
Well, we had but they didn't. We weren't in that long to see many trains go through. But I remember though that the horses, he went up and down Adams Avenue, and there was a man that went along with a little cart and a scoop shovel, and he cleaned up the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, what would I even happen when they have cars, when the cars get all cars? But the streets weren't paved, with boards and board sidewalks, and not too, as I remember going across from one street to the other.
Were there gas street lamps then, or some other fuel, or were they electric?
Well, there wasn't many that you could tell that I remember.
No street lamps at all?
I don't think so. But
what other towns in the valley did you visit frequently when you were young?
Well, after we got teenagers, quite often we'd go over to Enverton and Elgin and visit some of the kids over there our age, but it went to town. And I had an uncle that lived in out of Union, up Catherine Creek, north of where the Freeway was. And I know we went over there, they invited us over to go over for dinner one time. And they invited the Feeks too, and they had a car. So they took Mother and some of the kids, but Alec and some of us other kids went in the horse and buggy and drove to Union to dinner and then had to drive back.
How long did it take to get from here to Union?
Well, it took quite a while, I don't remember.
Three or four hours?
Oh, no, probably. It'd probably take an hour at least or something. We always trotted the horses. So they trotted and we cut kind of through the valley because they were this side of Union. No, at least we could make it over there and back in the day and have dinner.
Even with trips like this, did you feel isolated out here?
No.
Sure?
No, this is our home.
And plenty to do?
Yeah.
Taking care of the place?
Yeah, we had a few cows and the horses, and mm-hmm. Mother had some pigs and some chickens, and we took care of that stuff. But that's all we was used to. We hadn't.
And I'll bet you pretty much went to bed when it got dark and got up when it got light.
Well, that's the way. Mm-hmm. I know on Christmas, though, you got up way early.
Yes. you spoke about some wild animals around here, like wild pigs.
Well, that was in New Zealand. My mother would tell us about the wild pigs. But,
I see. I didn't realize you were telling her story then. But there were some wild animals in this valley, still are. Did you see cougars, bears?
No, and never saw a bear until I was grown. I heard a lot of coyotes that's around here. I hear them now. And owls. And
hawks.
And hawks and the pheasants and that. But we went deer hunting. I'll probably still write again, but Gene's dad took us. Marty and I didn't have a dad, and the Waite boys didn't have a dad, and he took us deer hunting.
Would that be up Mount Emily?
Be up, back to Mount Emily, and they went up Ruckaway. Mm-hmm. We went all over it. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, gee, I sure would like to be able to walk those ridges again. It's so pretty up there.
Yeah.
But we used to, this is one thing that we done as kids to entertain ourselves. We would take some lunch and we'd go up over the bald ridges on top of Mount Emily to eat our lunch. And we would actually run up those ridges to see who could get to the top first. But that was, and of course then they had a big tower up there and we'd always climb the tower.
Is that a tower for fire watching?
Yeah. I know they had them around, but there used to be a man that lived up there and had to be up on that tower so many times, so many hours during the day to spot any fires. Uh-huh.
How would he get a message if he saw one?
I don't know.
He didn't have a telephone, did he?
Well, they might. He probably had some kind of a signal.
Flag signals, maybe?
Or something, but I really don't know, but I know they watched for the fires mm-hmm. and that, because we'd go up there and we got a lot of kick out of talking to him.
Suppose he did spot a fire, would a lot of men get together and try to put it out?
Oh, yes. Always. When we had a couple times that someone got lost up there by the whole valley, went up and hunted. That's what my dad got sick of, was of hunting. People that were supposed to be lost mm-hmm. wasn't. Mm-hmm. But horseback riding too, just around the glen, back and forth from one place.
If you went hunting for deer up there, would you go with horses?
No. Gene's dad had a car, picked up those, and then some of the other boys at that time had a car? No, well, they took horses up there because my husband, before we were married, he rode the horse from here, clear over the top, back further, just in case they got something down in the canyon to haul it out.
Well, that's what I was thinking. If you killed a deer, you couldn't get it out without a horse or some kind of a vehicle, could you?
Manpower. I even were up back in Mount Emily, and we were elk hunting. Well, no, we was really deer hunting, but they walked through a canyon. My brother and some of them was going to drive a canyon, so we was out here to see if they could drive something to them. When they came out, they said, my gosh, they said, we saw there's an elk down in there that is I walked right by him, and somebody shot him, and he's just staying there, but he's still alive. And so we thought, well, we'd go down and get him, and then they had to go clear to, I think my husband, where he went, but he went to Elgin or someplace to phone for the game warden to come and see if he'd go get him, had permission to go get him. And they said yes, and they said, you meet me and stuff on the top of the ridge where we were at such and such a time. Well, when they went down to get this one, my husband just took the young pistol, and one took one rifle. And when they got down there, that darn elk jumped up and ran down the ridge, and they chased him clear to the very bottom before they got him, and come to find out the next week when they went through there, there had been two, and the one that didn't move was the one that my brother rode in. He was dead. And we finally got him. We really had to work to get him up to meet the game warden up there. And they took him and made kind of the shavs and laid the thing on there. And then Gene's dad would get out of the tall, long rope and take it up and hold it while the others carried this up. They brought that clear out, and I was almost got the job of carrying the guns, or some of them, like an antler, but I took the guns, and they told me to hurry and get up there so I could meet him, because it was... three quarters, and he took the hind quarter. And he tagged those so that they'd be able to put a little metal tag on them so that we had permission for the thing. But that was, and many deer, most of the deer, until later, we carried it out. There was enough to eat.
And were these animals that you had killed and brought out always used for human food?
Was for us.
Was?
It was what we done. We canned it a lot.
Oh, tell me how you did that.
Well, there are some different ones that might have, but the way that we done it mostly, we take a big roast and put it in the oven and get it partially cooked. Mm-hmm. And then we would cut it off and put it in the jars, and then you'd have nice gravy to put in there. And then we would boil it, cold pack it for so long until it... And then it was sealed while we had it. We could come home from church or someplace and open a quarter of that meat with gravy in there, and we'd have a meal, cook a few potatoes. And
not even with a microwave.
No, sir. We not even an electric stove either. I didn't have an electric stove until we moved out here in 1964.
Uh-huh.
I cooked in can and everything was on a wood stove.
Wood stove.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a good way to do it? Would you regret doing it now?
I wouldn't like it anymore now.
Too much work?
And too long. You'd have to keep packing the wood in and making to keep sure your fires and that was going. But when Gene and I were married, I could truthfully say that our kids was raised on deer meat. We never missed a year without getting our deer, and we generally get at least a half an elk. But one year, Gene thought, well, we'll kill a beef and have some beef, and our kids would eat it. So
didn't like the taste.
Well, just thinking it was a beef, I guess.
Did you ever have to be concerned about these wild animals being diseased?
I never thought about it, no. And I never once thought about running into one and anyone hurting me. I wasn't a bit afraid. In fact, I was hoping that I'd get to see something like that.
Mm-hmm. But what other wild animals did you kill and eat?
Well, it was a lot of rabbit, but mostly deer and elk.
Any wild turkeys?
Wasn't there.
There weren't any?
Mm-hmm. No, that's only been the last few years. Turkeys, and my grandson have got turkey, and so his mother cooked it, and they invited me to come up and eat some of it. And I was surprised, they never looked at anything like the turkeys you buy.
Mm-hmm.
Long legs.
Kind of stringy.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I guess it would be the men who are doing the butchering of the animals.
I butchered a lot.
Did you hang them up on ropes from trees?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes if it was out in there, we we'd hog dress them if we were out.
What does that mean?
Well, that means open them up and take the insides out, and then
with the animal lying on its back on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what did you do with the innards?
Well, we just throw them out the tiles again. Be over there the next morning and be there. But no, we didn't bring them home. And then I tried one when they came down here, and I was wanted to take a picture of it too. It was so good that that was to skin it by tightening it up and start from the top and pull it off of the. I don't know how. I think we had the car or something, and then we had pulled it down. It was coming so nice, and I wanted to, and I forgot all about it. It was so nice to watch it.
Now, in that case, you would have to hang the animal up on a tree, wouldn't you? Like tie a rope around the legs?
Oh, we made kind of a single tree. But we just press their hind legs apart and put nail up there so that it'd hold them out. And then you could take them, pulley and whatever, and pull them up in the tree as you want.
Mm-hmm.
I know one elk, Gina and I was coming back up there in Spring Creek, and I got this elk, and we didn't have any way of getting him out, so I worked on him while he went to town, and he got the horse, and he had to put a makeshift rack on our pickup and bring the horse in and carry it out. And we had some pulleys, and he put one on each side of the tree, about so far apart, and I had that all skinned except just the head and neck, because I couldn't pull it up any higher. Mm-hmm. It was just too big.
Mm-hmm.
But we so many times would run up on Mount Emery before he went to work, and we half the time we'd get one. He'd be taking back to work, and then I'd have to clean the deer out.
Mm-hmm. You got pretty good at it, I'll bet.
Well, I could do it, and I wasn't afraid.
And what did you do with the heart and the gizzard and the liver and those kinds of inner organs? Did you throw those away?
No, we didn't have the liver, and I like the gizzard on chickens, but never threw that away. But
the deer and the elk.
The deer and the elk. No, we always kept the liver, and some of my family didn't, I like it. I liked it myself. But there's a lot of people around that was glad to get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, would you just boil it up and eat it right away rather than try to can it?
No, I'd take it and slice it and then we'd freeze it.
Freeze it?
Yeah.
Well, how could you freeze it?
Well, with that, we had, in town they had lockers where you could rent.
Uh-huh.
And take stuff in there, freeze it.
I see.
And we had taken our deer meat too. We got to take and fix our hamburger and roll them in good packages and put them in there. When we wanted some meat, went in there and got it.
Now, this would have been about the 1940s, I suppose, wouldn't it?
Well,
or maybe later.
I don't know just what time it was. Well, it'd have to be because we were married. And I was married in 36. So
when you were a girl, I don't think you had freezing facilities.
No, we always cooked it and canned it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about fish? Did you get, where is it possible to get fish around here to eat?
Well, there were suckers in these rooms.
Yeah.
And I've eaten a lot of suckers.
You like them?
I like them, but the only thing I don't like about it is they've got so many of those little bones in there. Especially, you could cut the top part off, and once it was as bad as it would get in that last half of it. But
how long were these suckers?
Hopefully, yeah, like this.
Easy to catch?
No, I thought it was they were awful hard, but some of the boys got to using some forks that they could catch them.
Stabbing them, huh?
Mm-hmm. But one year, there was an awful lot of them here, and people from town come out here and get them. The trouble was, they threw them all out on the road. There wasn't a mess up and down here. And I think my husband went and told them, if they want to catch them, don't throw them out on the road.
Frogs?
Oh, they played, once in a while we'd catch some, but I didn't pay much attention.
Did you eat them?
Mm-hmm. No. They said that you could eat their legs, but we never did. And we never catch them to kill them, but we like to play with them.
Any crawfish?
I don't think so.
Now, when you say there were a lot out here, do you mean that there were more sloughs and creeks?
No. The creek here used to run bigger than it does now, and it would be pretty swift. And they were, it was from that corner up here to this lane that goes out there, Orchard Lane, mm-hmm. like through there, especially from this half down here. Mm-hmm. The young boys would get right in there and walk and catch them with their hands and give them a throw. Because I had a grandson that was out here.
Now, you talked in the previous interview about going huckleberrying. Did you all also gather mushrooms?
No.
Why? Did people think they were decent to eat?
Well, I don't know. We used to, as kids, we used to gather some of these willow butchers, they call them, or you know what they do, and dandelions. We've had dandelions green, but these were, they're, I don't know if that's the right name, but they're kind of a little weed-like. It just goes up kind of like you say of a dandelion, only they have a little blossom, fuzzy thing on them. We used to pick those and get greens out of them.
Green salad, or cooked greens?
Just cook them.
Cook. Mm-hmm. Why do you think people wouldn't want mushrooms?
I don't know anything about them.
It just never entered your mind to eat a mushroom?
No, but later on, I found Fox Hill quite a bit. There was mushrooms one year, and I liked them. We picked them. But they were hard to clean. They were kind of like brain mushrooms or something, and they were hard to clean. But as far as even now, I don't know enough about them to pick them. Yeah.
So any mushrooms you picked would have been later in your life, mm-hmm. not in your childhood.
Yeah.
Now, you said that you really enjoy quilting.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, quilting goes way, way back. Were you aware of quilting when you were a young child?
Yes, I learned to quilt with my mother, mm-hmm. and she carved wool and put that in the quilt.
For extra stuffing.
And they were always heavy quilts. Mm-hmm. But that's where I learned to quilt, and she'd take coats or pants or something that takes a good part out of the tent, one more out, another mm-hmm. quilt out of it.
Do you think that one of the main reasons that women made quilts was to use up old fabric?
Well, I think
rather than just throw it away?
I think in those days, I think that was because we didn't have the heat in the houses, and the house would get warm, you had it, or cold at night.
Sure.
You had to have heavy blankets on to keep warm.
When did you become aware that quilting is an art, or can be an art?
Oh, I don't know, especially after I got married. But I don't know how many quilts I have quilted just since the middle of February this mm-hmm. year.
But say 70 years ago, it was always women who made the quilts, wasn't it? Never the men.
Yeah. Right. Well, we used to have a relief society, and her sister Zog was the president of the Relief Society, and she done a lot of quilting. And that's what we'd have, but we'd get together, and when I got, well, I'm still a teenager, I'd go with them, and they'd have a quilt, and then everybody'd get around and quilt them.
That was what I was going to ask you, too. Many times, making a quilt was a good opportunity for people to get together and talk, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you talk about? Oh, all kinds of things.
Everything.
Yes.
Soup to peanuts.
Mm-hmm. Who was going to have a baby, and
yeah.
Who was sick, and who'd been off on a trip somewhere, and all those same kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't much to talk about around here, really nothing. We never had any shows to go to. Mm-hmm. And that, but I enjoy now, I just enjoy piecing them.
Mm-hmm.
And quilting them. In fact, I've got one on the bed now, and I sew them together.
I suppose you use a sewing machine now.
Yeah.
At that time, it was just needle and thread, wasn't it?
Well,
longer ago.
My grandmother sat. She couldn't. Jean's grandmother. She was quite heavy, and she couldn't really walk. But she would sit, and people give her little scraps, and she'd come out these hexagons. And she would sew them and make quilts, and she made the quilt for each one of her grandchildren. In fact, she made one for my husband, and I helped, and she made one for his brother. And she says, "Grady, you can help me quilt this one for Keith." And I said, "Yes." And then she gave me this one for Jean, and she says, "You can quilt that." So I was ashamed of myself. I didn't get that quilted for him until the Christmas before he died. Then I finally got that.
Well, if you were doing it all by hand, it would take many months, wouldn't it, to make
it? Well, I could. She had done it, and she gave me the top. But I didn't get around to the rest of it together until just the Christmas before. But my daughter now, she's good, does it more fancy than I do. She's got the stuff that she can lay or turn down there and cut it off with the miner gun with a scissor, and she makes them lovely ones. But she has learned how to put them on and quilt them, and I generally help her with them.
Mm-hmm.
But she's done a lot, and in fact, she's been making enough for each one of my grandchildren that are away from home, that are big enough to get out of home. And she went back here the other day, a week, and she'd be gone for about a week, but she went back there to meet her sister and going to go through the open house of the Marlborough Temple up there and going on back there. And she had one for each one of her sister's children. And she had a cart full.
When you were young, was it common to take some quilts to county fairs?
I don't think so. They made quilts. It was for either your family or someone. I know Jean's mother used to come up and help us quilt. She had some material and mother'd help her put it together.
The idea wasn't to display a quilt that you made.
No.
Just use it.
Yeah, that's right.
I wanted to ask you, too, about, I'll call it, either illegal or criminal behavior in say, the 1910 to 20 to 25 period. Were you aware of any kinds of crimes or illegal activities?
Oh, I knew it when I was just growing up. On Halloween night, the boys would get out, they'd push all of some of these houses over. And one time, I didn't see it, but they said that they took somebody's wagon, and the guy had a barn, but he had a kind of a lean-to or down there that was bullseye, and they managed to get that wagon up on top of that barn. And just things like that, clothesline. They called it, one night was clothesline night, and they turned down the clotheslines.
Those are more like dirty tricks than illegal acts.
Yeah.
But how about theft, thievery, thefts?
Well, around them again, there wasn't too much, but I know when we first took this over, it was the first time that we really noticed some of that. because we didn't have a house here, and we had planted potatoes and we planted a big garden and stuff out here. In fact, we had a bunch of chickens out here that we'd come by and take care of them. It was just a leghorn, mm-hmm. The chickens are all roosters. But we noticed that they take some of the squash and they get in to the corn. And we had 5 rows of potatoes right out. Would be almost where the lawn is out there, but it was in front of the old house and it was there. And I said, well, no one will take any potatoes. If we come out one morning, they're taking the middle one. Dug it up. But the first we really noticed that things being taken is there were several vacant houses around. And there was some kind of transient people moved in them. And they had some thinking. Yeah.
Was that in the 1960s?
Oh, no, it was after I was married.
Yeah. When you were younger, were there any unmarried girls who became pregnant?
If they did, we never heard about it.
Never heard?
Mm-hmm.
They would go away all of a sudden?
Or something. I never heard of it. Just, mm-hmm. Of course, we were just this little community and everybody knew everybody. We never had anything like that happen.
You felt safe all the time you were growing up?
We never locked our doors or cars or anything. We never even thought about it. They didn't take anything. Not like they are today.
If you weren't trustworthy, you probably wouldn't last very long around here.
I guess, probably not. I don't know.
Well, I think that might do the job. Are there any subjects that Vanessa or I didn't bring up?
I don't know. Did I tell her anything about me substituting from the post office and mail lot?
I think you mentioned it, but you didn't go into much detail.
No, I substituted for the very former on Route 2 for quite a while, and then he took his Route 1. And
who did you substitute for?
Laverne Fulmer.
Fulmer?
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then
that was out of the LeGrand post office?
Uh-huh, yeah. Right here. And then I substituted for Harold Breen. And then they put on a third route that took down kind of May Park and Island City. But it wasn't a full-fledged route, and I took that for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it went into a full route, I wasn't eligible for that. But
why did you do that?
Well, I thought it was fun. Most of my kids was in school, and Laverne was out here with Dad sitting at the door, and I said, "Say, how's the chance of subbing?" And he said, "Well, might be able to," but he wasn't quite well. And one day he called me and said, "Gertie, do you want to sub?" And I saw right in there. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I learned to meet a lot of people more than I'd ever seen, and they were all, most everyone was really nice. At Christmas time, a lot of times they'd have candy or something in the mailbox, or one time they had a great big steak, frozen steak, and you'd see some that weren't as nice as they could be, but, and I drove on the mail route. I only got stuck twice. Once I had a shovel out, and once I got pulled out. But I never had only 2 flat tires, and it happened to be in a place where somebody stopped and helped me. And I thought, well, I was sure really blessed that way.
You were driving a car.
Yeah, I was driving a car. And
your own car or a post office car?
No, I bought my own car. I had a little Toyota, and later I had a kind of a Subaru, but a 4-wheel drive, but it was...
There's still some people doing that, I know, in Wallowa County.
Well, I imagine.
And maybe, I think there's a, I talked to a man who does it out of union.
Probably, this one, when I was the substitute on Route 2, it went clear out to Union. It was about 80-some miles. Yeah. And then they took off 14 miles and put it on the Union District, so we'd have to go out there. But some days it wasn't the most pleasant, but I had chains on day after day. Instead of driving in out here, I put it, Jimmy was working at the telephone company, and they had this big warehouse, and I'd park the car in there and then go out with him and then go back in and then have to take the chains off. Mm-hmm.
So that was mostly a good experience.
Yes, it was. It was a good experience. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it because I had never been out working. I always mm-hmm. worked with, helped my mother. Mm-hmm. That was one thing I just thought that I had worked to help my mother when she needed it. Then when the 30s getting up, when they starting to get able to get work, well, Gene's dad was able to get on the railroad, so he come and asked me if I would help him with the farm so he could work on the railroad. And I told him, sure, if his mother or his wife would tend my baby. And then I would have done that, and then, of course, then when they passed away and we took over this, Gina was working, and so I helped him by running his left, and that kind of what I was made to do.
Yeah.
I've always been strong and healthy, and I love to do that. I'd rather do that than sit here in the house and cook or sew.
How do you occupy your time now?
Well, that's why a lot of times I just quilt. People have given me material. And then I got some with the Salvation Army. One day I went in there and they had a whole basket full. And it was yardage. It wasn't just scraps. It was yardage. But so I got a lot of that. But that passes my time a lot. And then I sent some in to send to... send it to people that needed it in the service. And then the Marie Society, said that they wanted some of these leopard bandages. So I made six of them, and they're 3 inches wide and 7 feet long, and crocheted them.
7 feet?
Uh-huh, 7 feet
long. What do they use those for?
For bandages. They stretch and... they just put them in these kits that go to the service or something, or whatever they do. But my son is a doctor, and he says, I would been wanting to crochet on one day. He said, what do you do with that? And I told him, tried to explain them, use them on your leg or arm and do swell. And one day he came home, and he said, well, I've seen what one of those bandages do. So he had seen one. Hmm.
Seems those 7 feet would be too long for a bandage.
Well, that's what it was. But they can make, they said 4 feet, 3 inches wide and 4 feet long.
And they're called leopard bandages?
Uh-huh.
You know why?
No, I don't. And all I can figure out is if a person had to have an arm or a leg mm-hmm. bandage along the kids, you really put them, because they stretch and you just keep mm-hmm. putting them on real tight. Mm-hmm.
I see you have some handwritten papers there. What are they?
Oh, this was some that I like to put some kind of genealogy, and I put when I was born, and that's when I got going on the mail route, and so I just...
Are there some things in there you haven't told us?
Oh, I don't know. It's, just different dates and that, but I don't know, ever since I was a young girl, I must have had kind of genealogy in my system, because I had the made genealogy of the cows and the horses, and in fact, right now, my son's got a horse that's the eighth generation of the first horse I had. And different ones here, my horse and what, how many colts she had. It's just been kind of so now I've been doing quite a bit of genealogy work. I finally got a computer, and that has been a wonderful thing. Because I could type before, but I haven't typed for a long time, but that computer, they got what they call the PATH program, and I can put names on there, and I can put them off and send them into the temple for their temple work, and I've finally run out of names. But my son, he's a genealogist, and he told me he's been on a mission up there, him and his wife in Bellingham, Washington. Mm-hmm. And he'll be down here Saturday night to finish his mission. And he says, Mom, he says, I've been looking through some of the films, and I've found some more names on the Lindsay side. So he says, I'll tell you all about them when he comes. So I'm kind of interested. He does an awful lot.
So in order to do this with your computer, you have to be on the internet, don't you?
No.
No?
No, I'm not on the internet. No. If I was, I guess that he has an internet, and you can get, I could probably get a lot of things that way, but I have read a lot of films in different localities, and I have taken out the names of all those that was on my line. And I've sent them along to him to let him find out if they're relatives.
Do you think you could learn to use the internet?
Oh, I think I could. I was surprised I'd heard of that program, and that's about all I do on my computer.
You could use a word processing program?
No, I don't have any other programs on it.
Oh, I'm sure you have one on your computer.
Oh, probably.
They usually come with a word processing program.
Oh, there probably is. There goes the son with a load of hay, it looks like. Yeah. And I seen him go with the baler.
Well, if you have enough courage to use a computer, I think it would be a very easy step for you to take to go to the internet, and you'd probably enjoy it.
Well, I probably would. My daughter has she lives in the park down in the basement here. She has it on hers. Uh-huh. And then she's got where she enlarges pictures and different things.
Yeah.